Turn, please, if you would, to the book of Acts, the 17th chapter. Acts 17. The verse we'll read is verse 30. This will be my text slash textual slash topical. Anyway, you'll understand. Acts 17, 30. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." One of my favorite invitation hymns is "Just As I Am." Most likely because that song was sung at the end of nearly every preaching service of the church which I attended, and it was the song that the church was singing the day that the Lord saved me. I do indeed like that song. But I fear that the title of this song has been distorted down through the decades. What I mean by this is the evangelical approach of watering down the gospel truth and plea by utilizing a method normally called easy believism. Easy believism is when the seeking soul is told to simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the seeker-friendly approach. It is the idea of come as you are, with the intent of stay as you are. Only believe is the message. Now don't get me wrong. I am persuaded that true belief is absolutely essential. I'm not opposed to calling men to believe. What concerns me is what is missing from such a one-sided plea. If I understand my Bible right, not only must a person believe, they must first repent. It is wrong to encourage the lost with the title itself, "Just As I Am." Not merely because of the misguided intent, but because the song itself teaches otherwise. The first verse states, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." And the second verse says, "Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." You see, we are told that we need to be cleansed, but we have nothing to offer God. Rather, that Jesus shed His blood for us. Thus, just as I am. But we are also told that we have a dark blot of which we need to be rid. We have spots that need to be cleansed by His blood. And my friend, a sinner won't turn to Jesus if he thinks that he can cleanse himself, and he won't truly turn to the Lord if he isn't willing to have those dark blots cleansed. Have you seen yourself desperately sinful and condemned? Have you seen the Son of God who shed His blood that you might be saved? Have you repented of your sin and turned to Jesus? Beloved, the gospel truth and plea consist of repentance from your sins and ideals and your faith in Jesus Christ. True biblical evangelism is more than a call to believe. It is also a call to repentance. And so I've chosen to speak to you today a message which I have entitled, "Call to Repentance." We have read Acts 17, verse 30. We will come back there a little later on. But let's pray. Father, thank you for the day and the privilege to be in your house. Thank you for these that are here. And Lord, help us to focus upon you and upon your word. Let us worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, that message which you've laid upon my heart to share, I pray that you would just apply it to every life. And we pray especially for those that are lost, that they might see their need of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would move and convict and draw. And we pray that you would grant repentance and faith that today they might be saved. May we who are saved rejoice in the salvation you've given to us. We give you the honor and the glory and the praise. And we do pray for perhaps some that might be in our midst that has some sort of a profession, but Lord, they never truly repented and never truly believed. You know that, and we ask that you'd be pleased to work those things out in their lives today that they would truly be saved. We just want to give you the honor and the glory and the praise that's due unto you and to none other. Thank you so much for the privilege of sharing your word, and we commit it to you. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. So we're reminded in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, where Paul, he was on Mars Hill. He was in Athens at the time, and he had saw all the gods and goddesses that the people of the city were worshiping. And he made the statement unto them that at the times of this ignorance, God winked at. God allowed you to follow after these things. But the end of the text says in our passage, but God commendeth all men everywhere to repent. You that are of Athens, you here on Mars Hill, you philosophers who have believed so many different kinds of religions, it's time for you to repent. There needs to be a change in your heart and your life. And I believe that it's necessary for us to recognize that declaration is still true in our society. There is a need to repent, thus a call to repentance. What I would like to do, first of all, is repentance defined. That's my first point. The Greek word for repent here means to undergo a change in frame of mind and feeling. And so it is to repent. It is to make a change of principle and practice. Often we will say it's a turning about or a change. Like if I'm going one direction and I turn around and go the other direction, well, I repented. That's kind of an idea or an illustration of that. But the word means to have a change of mind. And Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Terms gives a very similar thing, to change one's mind or purpose. To change, isn't it? That word just stands out, doesn't it? Webster defines repentance, or the word repent, to turn from sin and to dedicate oneself to amendment of one's life. More specifically, in their definitions, to change one's mind. So you got an idea what repent is, don't we? If a person's going to be saved, they have to change their mind, don't they? They have to change their mind about God. They have to change their mind about their former concepts of religion. They have to change their mind about their life, about their sin, and what their desires are. There needs to be a change of mind. That word repent means to change. And so this is where we're going to be more topical, if you will. But turn, if you would, to the book of Matthew. I want to discuss for a little bit about repentance biblically considered. If we're going to talk about the subject of repentance and the call to repentance, it's necessary to see what the Bible has to say about this subject. And so I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 3. And the first thing I want to bring to your attention is that we find the message of repentance is found in the Scripture. And this message also has associated with it the idea of matching fruit. In other words, if a person's going to change their mind, if there's going to be a repentance, then there's going to be some evidence of that repentance. In other words, it's just the matter of you cannot repent and then just stay the same. That's not a repentance, is it? Well, what does the Bible have to say? Is there a biblical message about repentance? First of all, Matthew chapter 3 and in verse 2, we see in reference to John the Baptist when he came preaching, his message was this, verse 2, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Look down in verse 8. He also said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. You need to repent, and if you repent, you need to demonstrate that repentance that you have been changed. There will be some evidence. Listen, if you will, to Luke chapter 3, verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. You say, well, I'll just lean on my heritage. No, don't do that. He says, you need to repent and bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. Acts chapter 26 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul says that he showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Does that make enough sense? Is that clear enough to recognize that repentance is a change? It's a turning, and we're going to look at a few verses about turning in just a second, but then there's going to be evidence of that. And so I submit unto you the message of repentance is found in the Scripture, and it will bear matching fruit. I did say just a second ago about repentance involves a turning. I illustrated that to you. If we're walking one way and we change our mind and go a different direction, then we have made a turn, haven't we? Well, listen, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and he said, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. These witnesses who had been with the Thessalonians came back and told the Apostle Paul, hey, we were with them. And you know what? They have really been saved. They have really turned. They've repented. They turned from idols to serve the living God, turned away and turned toward. And that's what's doing for them. There was a turning, wasn't there? Acts 14:15, and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and sea and all things that are therein." Turning, isn't it? You have to turn away from those things. You just can't add on to it. We've mentioned to you many, many times about in other lands, the prospect of many concepts of religion is, well, it's okay to add on Christianity as long as you keep all your other beliefs. And that's just a tragic error. There's only one true God, my friend, and there's only one true Savior. And so we mentioned unto you, Sister Jerry, who came here for many years, who was lost, but from Thailand, had different God concepts and paradigms. And we told her, if you're going to be saved, you cannot add that Christianity onto it. You have to forsake those things. You have to turn away from those things and then embrace Jesus and Jesus alone. And she did, and she was saved. But she had to turn, didn't she? That's repentance, isn't it? Acts chapter 15, verse 19 says, "Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from the Gentiles are turned to God." Were Gentiles being saved? They were. Acts 11:21, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." Acts 9:35, "And all that dwelt in Lydia and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord." If they turned to the Lord, they turned away from something, didn't they? They turned away from false gods, false goddesses, wrong religions. They turned away from their sin in their own life, didn't they? They turned to the Lord. So I submit unto you that this message is found in the Scripture. We began with John and spoke about his message of repentance and the association of works meet for repentance. But if you there, you still should be in Matthew. So look into chapter 4 and in verse 17, this was also the message of Jesus. What did Jesus preach about? Matthew 4:17, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That's the message of our Lord Himself. Over in Mark chapter 6, verse 12, let me read to you, "But the message of the 12, Jesus chose 12 apostles, sent them out," and it says in Mark 6:12, "And they went out and preached that men should," what? "Repent." Repent. In the upper room after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, in Luke 24:47, it says, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." That's part of the commission. What are they to do? Go out and preach. What do they preach? Repentance and remission of sins. Repentance. Repentance. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. I think it's clear for us to recognize that this is a biblical concept, isn't it? The matter of repentance. It is a good subject to deal with because the Bible deals with it. And so we see John preached it and Jesus preached it. The 12 preached it. The 70 preached it. And, well, here Peter preaching Acts chapter 3, where I've invited you to turn. Verse 19, he said this, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Skip down to verse 26. "Unto you first, God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Repentance, isn't it? Go back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. It's a turning, isn't it? That you would turn from your iniquities. That doesn't sound like come as you are and stay as you are, does it? You can come as you are. The song is "Just As I Am." You have nothing to offer God. You have to come as you are. But if God saves you, you will not stay that way. You will not remain in that condition. There will be a change. There will be a difference. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. True repentance and faith brings about a genuine salvation. There will be a difference. But we have this matter of repentance. And I would remind you in Matthew chapter 9, where I've invited you to turn, not only the fact that the message of repentance is found in the Scripture, but secondly, repentance is God's call to men. Now, we know that through the preaching and the examples I've already given to you, but Matthew chapter 9 and in verse 13, the Scripture says, but Jesus speaking says, "Go ye and learn what this meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. He says, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What did Jesus say he was going to do? Why did he come? His message was to sinners that they would repent. Now, if they're going to repent, what are they going to do? They're going to turn away from sin. They're going to turn away from the false religions. And they're going to turn to God. They're going to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his message. God's call to that society was a call to repentance. That's still the same call that should be offered to our society today, that men should repent and turn to the living God. There is a call to repentance. Mark chapter 2, a few pages over to your right. Mark chapter 2. And in verse 17, very similar statements, but it is a different context. He says, verse 17, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need for a physician, but they that are sick. What was Jesus' purpose? He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Sinners to repentance. The same thing is expressed over in Luke chapter 5, verse 32, that last statement, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You get the idea, don't you? The Bible talks about the subject of repentance. And this is what they did. This is God's call to men. And I remind you then, as we continue thinking about this subject of repentance, that in the third aspect, repentance is a basic doctrine. Nowadays, you don't hear anything about it much, and it's not being said. People probably don't know a whole lot about it. But in the biblical days, that was a very basic doctrine. Proof of that, let me read to you Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 1. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, the very basic elemental fundamentals. It says, let us go unto perfection. I need to teach you more, he says. Not laying again the foundation. That's foundational, very basic, isn't it? Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. This should be understood by anyone that ever attends the house of the Lord. Anyone who reads their Bible ought to know about the very fundamental, basic doctrine of repentance. And so the author of the Hebrews says, we need to teach you more things, but we're not going to go back and go to the very basic fundamentals, which is repentance from dead works. Over in Acts 20, 21, it says that they testified both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very fundamental, isn't it? It's a message that still needs to be proclaimed. Turn back to Luke chapter 13. You're most likely in Mark 2, so go to Luke 13. Repentance is a biblical message we have seen. Repentance is God's call to men. Repentance is basic. Number 4, repentance is essential. Luke 13, 3 says this. And you can read through all the context, but very simple statement here. I tell you, Jesus speaking, he says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He reiterates that after he gives another example in verse 4. He reiterates it in verse 5. I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Do you understand, my friend, that if you do not repent, you will perish? It's true then. It's still true today. This doctrine of repentance is a very essential teaching because repentance is essential to salvation. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What happens if you do not come to repentance? You will perish. You will perish. You say, but I have religion and I believe. But did you repent before you believe? You see. Do you understand what the Bible is telling us here? Repentance is essential. But I also submit in the fifth aspect that repentance is a gift of God. Acts 11, 18 says, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. I believe that repentance is a gift of God. It's a grace that He bestows. Repentance is a gift. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You cannot work it up in yourself. You can't make yourself repent. My friend, Repentance is a grace and gift of God. Does that make sense? Turn, if you would, to Revelation 9. While you're turning over there, you must bear that in mind, that in your heart and your concept about this matter of repentance. It is not a work, and I'll remind you that at the end. Repentance is a grace given. So if you're lost today, you need to repent, because if you don't repent, you will perish. How shall you repent? You say, wait a minute, I can't repent on my own. No, you cannot. What do you need to do? You need to cry out to God and ask God to give you the grace of repentance and bring life to your heart. That's what you need to do. God, save me. God, give me eternal life. Cause me to repent and believe. That's what you need to do, dear sinner. Just walking an aisle and repeating some prayer, this matter of easy believism, that's not sufficient. We've seen very clearly in the passage, you must repent. There must be a change of heart and a change of mind. There must. There must. But I ask you to turn to the book of Revelation and ask you to turn to chapter 9. And what I wanted to do as I finish this information of the Bible consideration of repentance is that I think it's worthy to note that repentance may not be followed. In other words, as I stand before you today and I declare unto you very clearly from the Scripture, you must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. You can understand that truth and you can walk out of here and not repent. And you can stay in your dead condition. You can. And the Bible makes it very clear. There are two passages. One is Revelation chapter 9, verse 20. The fact is, repentance may not be followed. You might know to repent. You might have been taught to repent, but that doesn't mean you do repent. 9:20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Despite all of the judgments of the tribulation period, and God demonstrating to man that they need to repent, there's going to be a host of those people that will not repent. And they will not turn from their false gods to the true and living God. They will not turn from their murderers and their sorceries and their fornications. They will not turn. And yet all through the tribulation period, they've been called and spoken of about repent. And the gospel is presented to the world. But there are many that will not repent. The other passage is chapter 16, book of Revelation. Revelation 16, and in verse 9. Man, listen to this. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give Him the glory. They know that God's bringing this judgment. They will not repent, will they? Verse 11. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of the pains in their sores and repented not of their deeds. How sad is that? Go back to Acts chapter 17 where we began. Well, may be the case you hear today outside of Jesus Christ that God may tap you on the shoulder. He might be getting your attention. He might bring judgment upon you. And yet you have not repented. You need to repent, my friend. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith. You say, well, you just said it's a gift of God. Then as a sinner, you better be crying out to God that He would bestow that grace upon you. Would you change your heart? Would you change your mind? Now back in Acts chapter 17 and in verse 30, and we try to give you a little bit of that context there. Paul declared to those people as they worshiped so many other false gods, and he said the times of this ignorance God winked at. God permitted, He allowed that to come about. He says, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. There are three things I'm going to bring to you from this passage and just digress for just a few moments. First of all, when we consider that God commands men to repent, that tells me that there is a need for men to repent. So why do I need to repent? Well, because you sinned against God and you sinned against man. But if God commands everywhere to repent, that tells me that men everywhere have a need to repent. Men have sinned, haven't they? They sin against God and they sin against man. And so we think wrong, we do wrong, we believe wrong. We sin against God, and that means that we need to repent. Listen, if you will, to Matthew chapter 3, or Romans chapter 3, I'm sorry, verse 10. Romans 3:10 makes it very clear for us. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There's a need to repent. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because of that, you need to repent. And I would remind you that there is a penalty upon wrongdoing. Romans 6:23, the first part of the verse says, the wages of sin is death. You need to repent because you're a sinner, but you also recognize as a sinner you're under the judgment and condemnation of God. Does that make sense to you? There is a need for you to repent. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 5. You ought to repent because through repentance you can be reconciled to God. You see, the problem is, ever since man sinned, he's been out of joint from God. In the beginning, God made Adam and Eve. They were upright and they were walking with God, but they sinned against God. And we're descendants from Adam and Eve, and all of us have inherited the same kind of nature that they had, which was a fallen nature after they had sinned. And so that fallen nature has been given to every one of us. Every one of us are sinners, which means we're out of joint with God. And, the only way you can be saved is to be put back into joint, to be reconciled to God. And so Romans chapter 5. How is it that we're reconciled to God? It's only going to be through repentance. Romans 5:10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Reconciliation. How's that through? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be reconciled. How does that reconciliation come? It comes through repentance and faith. Let me read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 18. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. If you're saved and God has worked in your heart the graces of repentance and faith, then you have been reconciled to God. And you needed to be reconciled because you're away from God, you were dead, you're an enemy of God. And so you needed to repent. And God worked in your heart. And you repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have been saved. So you have been reconciled. But I look back then in our text in Acts chapter 17. And I not only recognize the matter of the fact that all men are commanded to repent. So there's a need for repentance. But I want to emphasize just for a second that word command. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The word commandeth here in the original language means to announce or to declare. It is to notify. It is to command or to direct or to charge. This is not a suggestion. God has commanded you, dear sinner, to repent. I've told you before, I'm going to tell it again. I used to work with this guy, and I would witness to him, and I told him that he needed to be saved, and he says, listen, if God ever told me that I needed to be saved, then I would be saved. And I said, well, let me show you this verse. I went over to Acts chapter 17, verse 30, and I said, God commanded you to repent. God's told you to be saved. And to my knowledge, he never did repent, and he is to this day, as far as I know, he never has repented. But the fact is, we have no excuse. You have no excuse, dear sinner friend. God in heaven, the sovereign God of the universe, has commanded you to repent. You need to repent. He has commanded you to repent. But then if you would, consider Romans chapter 8. The third point is this, and then I'll draw a brief conclusion. I would like for you to consider the ability of men to repent. Can man repent on his own? I don't believe that he can. We already mentioned unto you that it's a gift. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But very simply, man's total depravity will skew his thinking. Because you're a sinner in every aspect of your being, it will mess up the way you think. And because of the way you're messed up in the way you think and your belief paradigm, it will prevent you from repenting. That's why it has to be a gift or a grace of God. You cannot repent on your own. You won't do it. And I'm going to show you a verse in just a second. And so keep that in mind. Know that your thinking will skew that. It's kind of like a person on drugs, you know, with drugs and alcohol and that kind of thing. It affects the way a person thinks. And that's why it's so difficult to break those kind of habits, because you have to get the drug out of their system so their thinking can return to normal. Because as long as they think with that skewed pattern, they'll not break it, you see. Well, total depravity just has affected every aspect of our being, and that will keep us from repenting. Secondly, man's nature. Just simply who we are, and of course our nature is that of total depravity. But because who we are, it impedes our repentance. I've asked you to turn to Romans chapter 8, and in verse 7, it says, "The carnal mind is enmity against God. The fleshly mind, the lost mind, is at warfare with God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. A natural man, apart from the work of God through this Holy Spirit, cannot and will not be saved. He cannot choose it. He's not going to choose it. And he couldn't if he wanted to. Well, he's not going to want to. That's the whole point. It is not subject to the law of God. He will not obey. Neither indeed can be." There must be a change in the natural man, in man's nature. And so what it is, God must move. God must give life. God must grant the gifts of repentance and faith. God must do that. And if God doesn't do it, it will not be done. On our own, it'll never happen. God must do that. Turn, if you would, to John 3, my last verse that I want you to notice. John chapter 3. I want to make this very clear to you before I finish. John 3, verse 20 says, "Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." You see that? A lost person, in his nature, loves darkness, will not come to the light because he doesn't want the light to expose his deeds as sinful. Men love darkness rather than light. That's what the Scripture says. Back up to verse 19. Men love darkness. There's a need for you to repent. And you must repent. Without it, you will not be saved. I mentioned this before. Just remind you before we draw a conclusion. Repentance is not a work. It is not a work. It's a grace. It's a gift. But it will be evidenced by works. We saw that right at the first, didn't we? Bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. If you have truly repented, there that will be seen. It will be evidenced. It will. But it is not a work. You do not get to heaven by works. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ apart from works. In closing then, as we've considered this matter of repentance today, I say unto you, dear lost sinner, you can be saved. You can. Repent and believe. That's my call to you. But I also would remind you that genuine salvation always includes the dual graces of repentance and faith. Genuine salvation always has both of these. Both are essential. You cannot be saved unless you repent and believe. You can repent and not believe, you will not be saved. You believe, but you have not repented, you will not be saved. Both of these graces are essential, and by the way, I believe that they come together. They are inseparable. If you truly repent, you will truly believe. If you've truly believed, then you've truly repented. You cannot separate those graces. But if you're going to truly be born again, if you're going to be saved, you're going to have eternal life, you must repent and you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Those scriptures we saw very early on demonstrate that over and over and over again. So I submit unto you that modern evangelism does a disservice in speaking about faith only. I would do you wrong if I just told you, you're a sinner, you're going to hell, only believe. I don't think that's adequate expression of evangelism. I must tell you, you need to repent and believe. You must change your heart and change your mind. You must turn to God. Clearly, the Scripture tells us that we've been called to repentance. Have you done so? Have you changed your heart and mind about God and His way of salvation? Have you turned from sin to serve the living and true God? Have you repented? And of course, yes, have you believed on Jesus Christ? If you have, then you have eternal life, because salvation is through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And as He said, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that's what He said. Repent. Repent. And so my message to you today is this call to repentance. So just a reminder, yes, you must believe, but it will be preceded by repentance. Will you repent and believe, dear sinner? Dear Christian, do you recognize that that's what happened in you, that happened to you when He saved you? Repentance and faith. Let's stand. Father in heaven, I thank You for the day and the privilege of sharing Your Word. I pray that You would just speak it to every heart. Overcome any frailty of speech which I may have had and any misstatements or anything, that, Lord, You would take Your truth and apply it by Your Spirit into every heart, that those of us who are saved would be strengthened and encouraged, knowing that we have genuine salvation because of Your work in us. But we do pray especially for those that are lost, that You would grant unto them repentance and faith that they might be saved. Cause them to be burdened. Draw them by Your Holy Spirit. Woo them. And we pray that You would give them life. And we pray that You would save them today. Cause them to cry out to You. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. Number 334 is the song that I've chosen. 334.